So he's been speaking to us quite about that good news. The good news that gives us an opportunity to leave the world behind and come into the very presence of God. He's talked to us about all the excuses that people give and all the things that people think will save them, when in reality it's not the truth. The truth is that we're all saved by faith and faith alone. And he's gone through that over and over again. He's talked to the Jewish people and removed all their excuses. And now he comes to this point where he has got to go back and he's got to deal with the Jewish people that he's in some ways been criticizing because of their false beliefs and things that they've not fully grasped in regards to salvation by faith and faith alone. And we see here in the beginning of Romans chapter 9, a real heart coming out, a heart for other people, a heart that's been stirred by the Spirit of God, a heart that has gone beyond his own self-centered approach, something that is burdened by the Lord. If you go and you take a look at Romans chapter 9 and we go from verses 1 through 3, we read the following. It says, I say in truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. And Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. So Paul here is definitely trying to get across to these other people that here is a burden of his heart. He's not trying to put on any facades. He's not trying to convince anybody. He is just trying to share the burden of his heart. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. And here's an important part. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul was not afraid. He does this several times throughout all his epistles where he says, my conscience is clean before God Almighty and through the Holy Ghost. And he says, I am here and I have this great burden of my heart that has been put here by the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you right up front that this is a burden that has been put upon my heart. And I pray that each and every one of you, as you go through your Christian life and as you read the scriptures, you get a burden that comes from God. You may get a burden for ministry. You may get a burden for people. You may get a burden for somebody to help somebody. But we want the Lord God to be moving in our conscience, in our mind that is connected with him, and in our heart, to bring us upon a burden that he wants us to be involved in. 3 weeks ago, I did a hospital visit, and I talked to a fellow there, and the burden was put on my part to ask him if he wanted to be discipled. In other words, would he like a pastor to come alongside of him and just help him to begin to understand the scriptures and what God says in them? And he says, oh, yes, yes, yes. I says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to give you a burden for that. I've discipled many men, but it's hard because sometimes they just want the attention of the pastor and they're not looking for the Lord to move on them. So I said, it has to become a burden of your heart. And I think that sometimes what we don't do is we don't give God the time to give us a burden of heart like he gave Paul. That we can say that my conscience is fully clear. I'm fully convinced that what I am doing now is what God has called me to do. Who I'm praying for now is who God has called me to pray for. We do not allow that to begin to settle into our being. We don't allow the Spirit of God the time to bring that deep-seated conviction about the way forward that he wants us to have. And so Paul says, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. So God gives us a burden. And that should become a burden that becomes overwhelming. That we think about it night and day. We think about what we should be doing. It is a burden and it gives us sorrow to know that we haven't reached that point yet. That we still need to drive forward for that. That we need to work at this task that the Lord has given us. And so Paul has this burden that is upon his heart, and he is so burdened about this that it gives him great heaviness. In other words, he feels like he's trying to pull a car with a piece of rope. It's an extremely difficult task to do, but if you put your heart and soul into it, you can move that car a little bit. We've seen people go and move airplanes because they prepared and tried. But God has given us each a burden, and it may seem overwhelming. But when we trust in the Lord, we can pull that burden, no matter what it may be. But we have to be convinced in our heart. It has to be something that we are totally convinced of. This is what God wants me to do. How many people, how have you ever gotten to that point that you said, this is what God wants me to do? That even if I came up to you and said, no, you'd say, I've got to do it. You see, that's the type of burden that was upon Paul's heart. It was heavy, right? It gave him sorrow to think, I haven't achieved it yet, but I need to keep moving in that direction. And then it says, for I wish that myself was accursed for Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Paul says that God has given me a burden, and I'm going to tell you about this burden, and my conscience is 100% clear when I say this. This is a conviction that comes from God. It is something that is weighing down on me for a long time, and that is that my fellow Jewish people, my nation, would be saved. He says that myself would be accursed for my brethren, his brethren, the Jewish people, my kinsmen, the Israelites, according to the flesh. You see, we're not talking about his spiritual family. We're talking about his bloodline, the Israelites. And he says, I would wish that I could find myself accursed from Christ. Now, Paul knows this can never happen. But he's saying that in the very truth and in honest effort, I believe that I would be willing, God could cut me off if he would reach the nation of Israel, if he would gather in his children. If he'd gather in the nation of Israel, I'd be willing to go to hell. Sounds like something that Moses said in Exodus, I think it's 33:33. Let me just check here. 32:32. I had the repetition right. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. You see, here was Moses, and Moses had a burden. Now, mind you, this is kind of a unique situation. Because here, Moses had told the people, he says, I'm going to go up and I'm going to speak with God. And God's going to give me a message. And while I'm up there, you guys just need to settle down and just, you know, unwind. Don't come down to the mountain, but I'm going to go up there, and he's up there for a little while. And all of a sudden, these people decide that they need to take all their earrings and all the jewelry that they have, and they need to melt it, and they make a golden calf, and then they start having a festivity, a celebration, honoring this calf. After God had, they had clearly committed themselves to not have any other gods before them. Yet here they are back down there. And so here's Moses. He comes down the mountain. We have that story of him breaking the tablets. And God says, stand back, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. And you know what, Moses? I'm going to make a nation out of you. And Moses says, falls on his face. Says, Lord, take my life. But don't destroy promise that you have made. I know they're worthy of it, but don't destroy. And that's the kind of burden that Paul had. He had for the lost, the nation of Israel, those that had not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the honest and truthful burden of his heart. And we have to come to this point and say, what has God burdened you with? Who is probably the better question, has God burdened you with? And are you at that point where in your commitment that you feel like God, I would do whatever it takes to have them come to know Christ. Oh, let's go beyond just praying for them. Let's go beyond just maybe sitting and talking with them. But let's just be willing to say, like Paul was willing to say, Lord, I'd be willing to be cursed in order for them to see them come to know Christ. Do we believe that much in the gospel? Do we believe that much that God can take care of us? Do we have enough faith to believe that God could strike us dead in order for that person to be saved? And we would continue? You see, this was a burden of Paul's heart. And I think it all behooves us that we need to be seeking the Lord and very clearly begin to understand, Lord, who do you want me to dedicate my life to so that they might come to know Christ? Lord, help me to see how that can come about. Lord, help me to have patience to see that come about. You see, this is the message that Paul had. Now, remember, Paul had been raised a Jew, but his ministry had turned to the Gentiles, and a lot of the Gentiles thought, well, he doesn't care anything about us anymore. And Paul's coming back to them, and he said, hey, I would be willing to give my life if you guys would believe. It's not that I've turned my life over just to the Gentiles. Every time I've gone and I've preached throughout wherever I went to the Jews first. They rejected and I went to the Gentiles. My heart is for you, O Israel. My heart is there because God has burdened my heart. He has said, your roots need to be saved also. And so we need to have that same concern for those that the Lord burdens our heart for. And I don't want to go and just say members of your family, because that's not really the point here. The point is that God would burden our hearts for the lost that are around us. It could be a neighbor. It could be somebody that you see on the street. It could be for this poor guy. In one of my trips to China, we actually went north and we went to Beijing and we got to see the Great Wall. And I was standing there on the Great Wall and I was looking down and here was this, I guess you'd call him a beggar. But I can still today see his eyes. And I can remember praying, Lord, what is it going to take for him to know Christ? And I had no way of communicating or nothing, but that was a burden that the Lord put on my heart. And I continue to pray for that burden. I still don't know his name, but God does. And the thing of it is are we willing to accept that type of burden? Are we willing to make that type of commitment? Lord, whatever it takes, even my life if necessary, for someone to know Christ. That was Paul's burden. And I think it should be our burden too as we move forward. But we're not done with Paul's burden of his heart. He continues to go on. I might just give you this one quote. And this was a Scottish theologian said, give me a stout heart to bear my burdens. Give me a willing heart to bear the burdens of others. Give me a believing heart to cast all burdens upon thee, O Lord. So we've been talking about burdens. And so with that thought of a burden, let's read it one more time. Give me a stout heart to bear my own burdens. Give me a willing heart to bear the burdens of others. Give me a believing heart to cast all burdens upon thee, O Lord. And this is what we need to do. We need to be casting these burdens upon the Lord and saying, don't run from them because they seem hard. But continue to pray and say, Lord, help me. Give me the strength I need to carry this burden that you've given me, like you gave Paul. Let me be willing to sacrifice my all in order to fulfill that burden, Lord. And God will do it. God will make you today's Moses if you're willing to lay down your life for the lives of, for the salvation of others. Why was he so burdened for Israel? Verses 4, 5, and 6. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath not hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And so, here's his burden, okay? Paul looks out, and he sees these Jewish people that he has such a burden for. And he sees they have all these entrapments all around them. They have their temples, they have their synagogues, they have their rabbis, they have their traditions, they have their keeping of the Sabbath, they have all these rules that they're very fervent about. And he sees the fact that they're trapped in them. And so the burden of his heart is because he sees they can't even find their own way out. They're so blinded by everything around. I mean, they've been given the oracles of heaven. God gave them the scriptures. Look at how blessed they are. Yet, can they see the truth of the scriptures? No. They've had the Savior come down and fulfill over 333 prophecies in order for them to see that he is God, and yet they still can't see it. Why is this? Oh, Lord, open your eyes, he sings. And so they are blinded by all the things that are around him. Their attendance in the synagogues. They're being members of the elite group of that are training under the Rabbi Gamaliel or whatever rabbi was that of the day. And they're all blinded by this. They would go and they would have their annual Passover and they'd mark their lintels. They would go into the Day of Atonement. They had all these festivities, yet they did not see the God that gave them all. They were trapped. They were burdened by these things. And today you might be saying, well, what do I need? What do I need to be burdened for? I'll tell you one of my burdens. And one of the reasons that I'm here preaching in this church, not necessarily because of this church, but because of the burden of my heart, is that in our world today, we have a lot of people with the title Christian on them. They have a necklace, you know, has a cross. They have a placard on the wall that says, God bless this home, or maybe as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They have the refrigerator magnets, and they have all these things that indicate they're Christians. And they want the whole world to, they might even be so bold as to put it on their car. Last place I'd ever want to put it, because that's the most frustrating place in the world. I don't want anybody sometimes knowing that I'm Christian. But so they have all these entrapments, and they think that they're saved because they go to church on Sunday. They think that they're saved because they have a prayer list. They think that they're saved because they have all this jewelry that says, I'm a Christian, and yet they're not. Same as the Jewish people. They had all these things given to them by God, and yet they did not see the truth of the Scriptures. And we need to become burdened that God will open their eyes. We can't do it. We can share the Word, but if they don't have ears to hear, they're not going to hear it. If they don't have eyes to see, they won't be able to see the truth. Even if it poked them in the eye, they couldn't see it. And we need to have that burden. Lord Jesus, help them to see their need for salvation. Help them to see, no matter what the trappings are all around them, no matter how much they're involved in church, no matter how much they're involved in serving in the church, that they must have faith first and not the trappings. It's a plague today. It's a plague today. And I have a lot of questions about what I see going on in our churches around this nation. And I'm talking Christian churches. Are we trapped by our traditions? Are we trapped by the things we do? Are we trapped by all the outward manifestations of Christianity and not affected in our hearts? You see, Paul knew this was going on, and Paul was burdened for these people, and he was burdened because he could not understand why they could not see. He says, Lord, whatever it takes, even if it means my life, Lord Jesus, open their eyes to the gospel. Open their eyes. We cannot do it. Do you understand? We share the word, but only God can open up the paths to the heart. And it has to become a burden on us that we, in good conscience toward the Holy Spirit, really are willing to commit ourselves to, not just pray about, but commit ourselves to. Not just talk about, but commit ourselves to. Be willing to go and walk alongside those that are hurting. Be willing to deal with the mess that they develop and that they have. And they always come to us and crying about, oh, this one wrong, this one wrong. And we want to say, yeah, but if you get saved, you know what? Things might go together better. You see, we need to have that patience. We need to have that burden of heart that no matter what, we're going to continue to work because God has called. What has God called you to? What is the burden of your heart? Is it truly for the lost and dying around you? You know, think about this. If we liberally assume, and I think this is a very liberal assumption, that 10% of America is saved, what does that tell us about the other 90%? They're lost. They're not saved. Do we have a burden about that? If we take that same percentage, let's up it a little bit because we think that we're a good Bible-believing community. If we take the 26,000 people that are in King George County and we go 10%, right? That means 2,600 people are believers. What about the others? What about the 23,000 people that don't know Christ? Do we have a burden for that? And not only that, but are we asking the Lord to give us that burden? To expand His kingdom is not just idle talk. It means that we have to get down into the trenches. We have to go into the battle. We have to be willing to work hard. We have to dedicate not just money, but time. We have to dedicate not just time, but burden. We have to be willing to pull a load, to try and move forward with this heavy burden. I won't be able to do that next week. I can barely do it this week. But that is what this is called. This is what Paul is saying. He says, I bear this burden for Israel because they have all these trappings. They have every sign. They've been given the oracles of God. They're blessed people, yet they don't see that the very blessing that they need is the one that they crucified. What a burden. That's his burden for Israel. Romans chapter 2, verse 28, Paul said this, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And here he goes and he's directly talking to the Jewish people, and he says, you know what? It's not about what you are on the outside. It's what you are on the inside. And what's Paul's burden is not that they would be outside Christians, but that they would become inside converted. We go on and we take a look at another passage of Scripture, and it says, Habakkuk 2:4, Old Testament passage, right from their own Torah. He reads, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." You see, there was a lot of confusion in the Jewish camp about what does it mean to live by faith. And a lot of times they thought that if I have faith, then I will show my faith, or if I work, I manifest my faith. I'm blessed because of the works that I do. And Paul's saying, no, even in the Old Testament, Jewish people that have got all these entrapments, you still need to be saved by faith and faith alone. You had to believe that God was going to provide the answer, that God was going to provide the way, that God was going to provide the skill, that God was going to provide the burden. And we need to be praying for that burden, that God would guide us all the way. God the Father made a commitment to Israel, Isaac, and Abraham to bless them and to multiply them greatly. To these people, in the fulfillment of his promise, Jesus Christ came. He was born a Jew. Thus, in Matthew and Luke, an extensive genealogy from the kingly and the priestly perspectives were provided. He was born and died, fulfilling over 333 prophecies in his life and death. Israel and the world were blessed by Jesus' life. It has made a monumental impact on our entire world. These blessings are not just for this lifetime and this generation, but this blessing is for all mankind, past, present, and future. On the shoulders of the Jewish nation, he was carried into the presence of the world. His story recorded. What a blessed people they are to have that part in God's story, yet they're still blind. How many people have been blessed with a Christian home, have been blessed maybe with a strong church, have been blessed maybe even to be participating in ministries, yet have not had their hearts converted? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are... This is the burden of Paul's heart, that all would come to know Christ, even if they have all the trappings, even if they're going to church, that they would know in their heart, that they would see the conversion and change of their heart. This is what our burden must be, not just to fill the pulpit, or not just to fill the pews, not just to expand the church, but to see hearts changed. Resurrection power manifested, Spirit of God guidance being there. It was that burden that motivated Paul. Verses 7 and 8 say, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed." Now Paul turns he pivots slightly, and he says, okay, that's been the burden of my heart, and this is what I'm praying that you will see the truth of the Scriptures. But he says that, you know, you guys think that because you were born with Israelite blood in you, that you are part of God's kingdom, that you're saved. And he says, it's not true. He says, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they all children? That's a question. It's a question that says no. Okay. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Why did he use the name Isaac? Because Isaac was the promised child to Abraham, right? He was a promised child. And so he's saying to the Israelites that you need to realize that you are a blessed people. But faith is still a promise. You need to be holding on to that promise. Genesis 21:12. It says, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bone, and that all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So it wasn't a matter of just that fleshly, that blood lineage, but it was a matter of the promise that God had given. That is what makes a difference. It's a promise that God has promised us eternal life if we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:9 says, "And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to make able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Do you realize here's Jesus? And Jesus is talking to these people that have all the trimmings and trappings and everything else that a Jewish person do. They're keeping all the rules. And he goes out and he takes a look at a rock on the field and says, you know what? God can make that rock a child of God just as easily as he wants, as you think that you've been made a child of God because you were born into it. God can use that rock. And he says this over and over again. If we go to John chapter 8 and we take a look there, in John chapter 8 verses 33 through 39, we read the following. And they answered unto him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou then, who ye shall be made free? You see, here they were. They were Jews. And they believed that they'd never been in prison. But whose jurisdiction were they under, even at the time of Jesus' life? Were they a free nation? No. They were under Roman, but yet they say, we're free. Because they were missing the point that Jesus was speaking to. And he goes on and he says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Oh, that's all us. We're servants of sin, are we not? And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. So servants would come and they would go, but only the Son would gain the inheritance. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So your master could declare you free. And that's who the Son, being the heir to the promise, would be. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen from with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And remember, the works of Abraham were the fact that he believed God and that he followed God. Yes, it was evidenced through his willingness to sacrifice his promised child, Isaac, but it began with God declaring him righteous. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And so here's where it comes down to. Paul's burden for these people is that they would be saved. And that they would realize that it wasn't through their fleshly efforts that they could be saved. That it was through the Spirit of God. And so you can see where his burden had to be deeply within his heart, because it was going to be a burden that would take time. Because it takes time to convince someone of their sinfulness. It takes time to convince them that Jesus is everything they need. It takes time. But it was his burden. He was willing to die in order to see them come to know Christ. And I have to ask you, do you have that person, that burden rather? It was in Romans 10:9-10, it said, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do we have the burden for the lost, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior, that they might believe in heart? We're not talking about them pasting on Christian activity. We're not asking them to paste on false identities. We're not asking them to take on burdens. We're asking them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead, and that he raised him to give them a new life. Is that the burden of our heart? Some are dead. You must rouse them. Some are troubled. You must comfort them. Others are burdened. You must point them to the burden bearer. Still more are puzzled. You must enlighten them. Still others are careless and indifferent. You must warn and woo them. And Charles Spurgeon calls us to take on that burden of heart that Paul had for the lost and dying around us, whether they be Jewish or whether they be Gentile. May God give us a heart that is burdened for the lost, because that is our call. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful time in the Scriptures. Thank you for this challenge, Lord, even to my own heart, to not just be mouthing it, but to be praying for it to be a full-fledged, conscientious, fully committed burden of my heart, that the lost might be saved, that you might give one more person an opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God. Keep me alert. Keep me praying, keeping